This is Jay Sekulow breaking news. A judge blocks a defunding effort of Planned Parenthood in Texas.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Texas officials plan to appeal a federal judge's ruling that bars the state from withholding Medicaid money from Planned Parenthood. Texas cut off the Medicaid funds in December, accused Planned Parenthood of selling fetal body parts. It was based on a video secretly recorded by an anti-abortion group.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
But the judge said there was no proof in that video that Planned Parenthood actually violated ethical or medical standards. Now, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton says the ruling, quote, flies in the face of basic human decency.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We've got a lot of topics we're going to be talking about today, but I want to start with this Planned Parenthood situation. President Trump made it a campaign promise to defund Planned Parenthood, and I want to say this at the outset. There is no constitutional right that Planned Parenthood has to taxpayer money. Let me say it again. There is no constitutional right that Planned Parenthood has to taxpayer dollars, period. Now, they get upwards of $500 million a year, $500 million a year from Planned Parenthood, but they don't have a right to it. Yet Planned Parenthood, in a foreign shopping move, in a judge in Austin, Texas, a very liberal area, Jordan, of Texas, probably the most liberal area of Texas, decides that the state of Texas cannot withhold medical funding, Medicaid funding, after the disclosure of the videos. And the judge points to the fact that the videographers were indicted in Austin, Texas, or I think a neighboring county, who ultimately, by the way, were not only cleared, all the charges were dropped. That he doesn't bother to talk about. So this judge not only gets it wrong, but this is, again, Planned Parenthood's juggernaut. And understand what we're fighting here. When the president says we're going to beat Planned Parenthood, by the way, we've litigated against Planned Parenthood there successfully. We had a successful outcome in that litigation. We've litigated in Planned Parenthood and other places as well. But this is a real serious fight. And taking it a step further, the state of Texas was protecting our taxpayer dollars here. And that's unfortunate that this judge decided to go in a different direction.
Yeah, this goes to the Medicaid issue. And you know that's a state and federal government shared program. So this has been the state funds that were provided to Medicaid, and the federal judge here, this is at the district court level, the very earliest stage, with a very nasty opinion against Texas. And the truth is that this is just a reminder about why this needs to be done at the federal level. Legislation needs to make it clear, so these judges can't make it up on their own, that Planned Parenthood is not entitled to any Medicaid funds whatsoever. That can be done through legislation. That can be done, even parts of that, through executive order.
Right.
It should be. Now, I mean, interesting to note here, this was not the U.S. government was not saying that Texas was wrong. We have a different administration now, an administration that supports the defunding of Planned Parenthood. And still, this judge, without the U.S. government arguing that there was some federal issue, sides with the Planned Parenthood, the number one abortion provider
in the world.
In the world, and of course, they do the most abortions right here in the United States. Their foreign funding has been cut off by President Trump, but their U.S. funding continues to that tune of $500 million a year.
No taxpayer in Texas, and I would add, no taxpayer in the United States anywhere, should have to subsidize the repugnant and illegal conduct of Planned Parenthood. And remember those videos. It wasn't that long ago that those videos came public, where you had the sale of fetal body parts. The judge in the decision also ignores the fact that Planned Parenthood's own admissions by their own abortionists said that they had to change the procedures they utilized in abortions to allow for fetal harvesting of body parts. The judge says there's no evidence. But again, this is, folks, the abortion distortion factor. We're going to take your calls about this. We're going to talk about Keith Ellison heading up the Democratic National Committee. That looks like it's about to happen. ISIS going after Coptic Christians. There's a lot to discuss. Logan, let everybody know how they can engage right now.
Yeah, you can join us right now. Facebook and Periscope are broadcasting live. You can see us, talk to us during the breaks. The show never ends online. Again, it's at facebook.com/jsekulow. Periscope or ACLJ.org. Lines are open as well. 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Lines are lining up right now. So if you want to get on the air, I encourage you to call right now. And again, we're taking comments and questions for the next hour.
The last 8 years have been a disaster. President Obama did everything in his power to undermine our relationship with Israel, our most important ally in the Middle East. Now it's time to repair the damage. It's a critical time in Washington. President Trump has held crucial meetings at the White House with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It's now more important than ever to show the world that Israel has no better friend than the United States of America. It's time to stand with our ally, not abandon Israel. With a new administration comes new hope. At the ACLJ, we're calling on President Trump to stand with Israel, support our most cherished ally in the Middle East. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So we've got a decision out of the state of Texas, where the state of Texas passed legislation to defund Planned Parenthood so they would not get Medicaid money because of their involvement in the sale of fetal body parts. Judge ruled against Planned Parenthood. And I want to say it again. Planned Parenthood has no constitutional right, zero constitutional right to your taxpayer dollars. And the president made a very direct statement about this. Do we have that fight? I want to play it because this is going to be a challenge on the national level here. This is the prelude. And by the way, I've got ACLJ lawyers already working on briefs in the case because it's now going to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. But here's what President Trump had said.
It likely will be
proper control. As far as Planned Parenthood is concerned, I'm pro-life. I'm totally against abortion having to do with Planned Parenthood. I wouldn't fund it. I would defund it because of the abortion factor.
All right. So the president said he's going to defund it because of the abortion factor. That's exactly what the state of Texas did here. Fan, what's the Congress move right now on this issue? Where's Congress looking?
Well, there's a couple of things, Jay, and you set it up right by saying there's no constitutional right to these dollars. Because, look, here in Washington, D.C., it's very clear that abortion advocates do believe they have a constitutional right to those dollars. I'll tell you two things. Number one, the official Democrat platform now includes repeal of the Hyde Amendment, which essentially says they have a constitutional right to those dollars. And then number two, Jay, remember what President Obama did when he left office. He essentially said states affirmatively have to fund Planned Parenthood. Now, that's a rule that the House of Representatives has already voted to roll back. That vote will be in the Senate next month. So I think we will roll that back. That's the congressional play here. But again, you set it up right. There is a faction in Washington, D.C. that believes there's a constitutional right to these dollars.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be very clear here, folks, on this. I'd rather be funding the development of our national security, our border protections, than funding Planned Parenthood by $500 million. Which is what they're getting every single year. And by the way, this is our money, $500 million. So we know we got a fight here, but that's okay. Well, we'll deal with the fight. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan, or a comment.
Sure, let's go ahead. Let's go to Bobby, who's calling in Louisville, Kentucky. You're on the air, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, I just wanted to ask you, Jay. I don't ever hear President Trump. I mean, I know what you just played, but when I ever see him on TV, which is just about daily, I never hear him talk about that or the Republican Party of the $500 million that's going.
Oh, this was a big, but it was a big campaign issue for the president. I mean, this was a huge campaign issue for President Trump. And the reason it hasn't been in the news, and I understand what you're saying, is because there has not been news until today. And now, they're working on it on a federal basis. That is the defunding at the federal level. It will be challenged by Planned Parenthood. And by the way, understand this also. And Bobby, everybody needs to understand this. When Planned Parenthood goes to court, us, our taxpayer dollars, are funding their ability to go to court.
Yeah, that's right. And I would remind you that one of President Trump's first actions after taking the oath of office was reinstating the Mexico City policy, which bars federal money going to Planned Parenthood International and other abortion providers that are overseas. So under the Obama administration, they didn't just get money in the U.S. They were actually getting money to perform the actual abortions. So that he stripped away that international funding immediately, and it also strips away funding for those who promote abortion. So it's not just the actual providers, but the promoters of abortion. So he's already taken steps to internationally impact the life issue. At the federal level, and what needs to happen in our own country is legislative change. We need to see legislation that strips away the Medicaid funding, the Title X funding from Planned Parenthood. And Than, there's another step. You could institute what was called the Reagan rule as well, which would affect some of these funds.
Yeah, I think that's the angle that President Trump should pursue. That would go after those Title X dollars. It would affirmatively say not only can the states do this, Jordan, but they must not fund abortion providers. So those dollars actually flow to entities that provide family planning services, and they should do that. And Jordan, just to underscore the other point you made, this defunding on the Medicaid side of Planned Parenthood, that is in the reconciliation language in the Obamacare repeal package that both the House and the Senate are going to consider. And you know why it's there? It's because President Trump insisted that it stay in there. So I would argue that he's shown great leadership on that front.
I want to read from the opinion of this court, and one of our senior counsel, Mal Terry, put this analysis together this morning. But this is one of the judge's basis, Judge Sparks' basis, for denying Texas's decision to not fund Planned Parenthood. I want you to read it, and this is how absurd it is. And so you understand exactly what we're up against. Then, Logan, let's get either a phone call or a comment.
Sounds good.
A secretly recorded video, fake names, a grand jury indictment, congressional investigations, these are the building blocks of a best-selling novel rather than a case concerning the interplay of federal and state authority through the Medicaid program, said U.S. District Judge Sam Sparks. Now, let me break this down for you. A secretly recorded video? Yes, they were, which they were entitled to do under the law. Fake names? Investigative journalists don't have to give their names. They were cleared of that as well. A grand jury indictment? Yeah, there was a grand jury indictment against the videographers. The part the judge leaves off is this. That indictment was dismissed. The entire case was dismissed. Congressional investigations? Absolutely. The congressional investigations recommended criminal prosecutions. These are the building blocks of a best-selling novel rather than a case? No. This is what a case is all about. This is legislative history as to why the state of Texas took action here.
Yeah, and I think one of the things Planned Parenthood actually tweeted this out, Planned Parenthood in Texas, they tweeted out another quote from his opinion. There is no legitimate public interest in allowing Texas to complete its, now listen to this, planned terminations based on the current facts. I mean, he's using their
language,
abortion terminology,
yep,
to mock the state of Texas. I just want to explain to everyone how entrenched Planned Parenthood is in our judiciary, and it is why it takes congressional action so that these rogue judges do not
and
have
there are
the
opportunity.
Mostly, so many at the district court level, that these judges are not allowed to make up the law as they go and rely on statute. That is one of the problems, is that they can point to, well, see, the federal government says it's okay, so the state, this becomes a, can the state then say no? But they don't just leave it there. This judge mocking the state of Texas, and obviously very supportive of the abortion industry. You always wonder how their families are tied to it, because in Texas especially, Planned Parenthood has some of its largest operations, and Planned Parenthood,
we've litigated there.
In Houston, it's
successfully.
I think it's their largest facility in the country.
It is. All right, let's get a comment or take a phone call, Logan. What do you want to do?
Let's actually go ahead and take a call. Let's go to Daryl in Florida on line 4. Daryl, you're on the air.
Hi, Daryl. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. God bless you. So when the Defense of Marriage Act was passed, Obama just flat out said, we're not going to honor it. So when these activist judges override Trump's executive orders on immigration, and now this Texas one about funding Planned Parenthood, why can't they just say, we're not going to fund
it? Well, here's what it is. So this was not an executive order by the president. The executive order Jordan referenced on funding was that there be no overseas funding of Planned Parenthood or abortion-providing facilities. That is already changed, and that is not being challenged and will not be challenged successfully. What we're talking about here is the state of Texas, after getting the evidence on the Planned Parenthood matter, made the determination at the state legislative level to not fund Planned Parenthood. Period. And I want to reiterate this. There is no constitutional right to funding for Planned Parenthood. They have no legal right for funds. And then there's this kind of misnomer that's out there. Jordan talked about the judges, but it's almost become part of the culture that Planned Parenthood gets this money. But the fact is, they're not entitled to. That'd be like saying the ACLJ's entitled to money. We're not entitled to money from the federal government unless we win a case against the federal government. Even there, you got to negotiate it. But this idea that they're somehow entitled because they are, after all, Planned Parenthood, is not true.
Well, in fact, Jay, for the first time in decades, the abortion left here in Washington, D.C. Affirmatively believes exactly what you just said, that Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers do have a constitutional right to those dollars. It's an absurd argument, but they've made it a part of their platform, Jay. And I would say this, the one thing that the Trump DOJ can do is totally reverse the aggressive prosecution of states that the Obama administration did do when states would try to funnel these dollars. Right? I think that has already happened, Jay.
I want to play this sound because you know that one of the things the judges said was that in this decision also was that they didn't have to change the way in which they did abortions. Here is Planned Parenthood's own chief medical officer. Take a listen to this one. This is number 5.
I'd say a lot of people want liver. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, most providers will do this case under ultrasound guidance. So they'll know where they're putting their forceps.
So it's completely different than the way they normally do their procedure. So, again, the judge, ignores this evidence. Logan, go ahead.
All right, yeah, a comment came in. It seems like this is from Linda. Said, are these judges now legislating? So that's a comment coming
well,
in
they,
Linda.
Well, they are certainly taking – look, and it's the abortion distortion factor, and it's – Jordan, I said this a zillion times, but it's the truth. When the rules are about abortion – and when the case is about abortion, everything changes.
That's right. They never get treated the same. I mean, these are facilities. They don't have to meet basic ambulatory care centers. They perform invasive procedures where blood is lost, lives have been lost, people have lost their lives, not just the child's, but the mother's as well. People are having to be rushed to emergency rooms, and yet they don't have to have admitting privileges. The abortionist, if you want to call them doctors, they don't even have to have admitting privileges in hospitals. So they can perform procedures. Their centers have you can't have any regulation at the state level of what the centers must meet. Like, yep. Talking about cleanliness and the facilities, you couldn't do this think about it.
A dentist's office couldn't do this.
No, absolutely not.
All right. All right, we're going to be back with more of your calls and comments, Logan, in just a moment.
That's right, and right now we have one line open at 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in. A lot of great comments coming in. This one just came in from Michelle. She said, I don't want my tax dollars going to fund Planned Parenthood and abortions. Well, you can be a part of that here at the ACLJ and help stop that.
We're going to file a brief to represent you in that issue. We will have more information on that next week, but that brief is being worked on right now. Back with your calls and comments in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The last 8 years have been a disaster. President Obama did everything in his power to undermine our relationship with Israel, our most important ally in the Middle East. Now it's time to repair the damage. It's a critical time in Washington. President Trump has held crucial meetings at the White House with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It's now more important than ever to show the world that Israel has no better friend than the United States of America. It's time to stand with our ally, not abandon Israel. With a new administration comes new hope. At the ACLJ, we're calling on President Trump to stand with Israel, support our most cherished ally in the Middle East. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
If you're just joining us, we've got a lot to discuss, but I want to stay on this Planned Parenthood for a moment because it's your taxpayer dollars. And it's $500 million a year, $500 million, sometimes more. So you're talking about over a period of a couple of years, you're talking about billions of dollars here. So here's what we want to do. We're going to file a brief at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. This judge was wrong. I read the opinion. We're going to take your calls on this. Second half hour of the broadcast, we got some other things we want to discuss as well. So we got a lot to hit on this broadcast. But let's go ahead, Logan, and grab some phone calls here at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, there are a lot of calls, but let's go ahead and take Carolyn's about to hold a while. Let's go to Carolyn in El Paso, Texas.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Jay. Yep. Listen, really, addressing the first part, last year, or about 8 months ago, you talked about what a disaster Allison Witt. And you said,
I'm sorry, we're talking about Keith, so everybody knows we're talking about Keith Ellison. I want to really, yes. Okay, go ahead.
And so this is a little twofold here, so bear with me. So 8 months ago, you said, listen, this would be great for the Republicans, but you know what? Your heart goes out for the future. And you said, this would be bad. Because what he could do is he could not only hold the Democratic, sure. but it will be more pervasive.
Well, look here's evil. Yeah, here's what you have. I mean, Keith Ellison has a decidedly not only anti-Israel view, and we're going to talk about this more in the second half of the broadcast, but the fact of the matter is he has, I think, an anti-American view. And the fact that he's a Muslim is irrelevant. It's his positions that he takes. But, I mean, why in the world would the DNC make this move? Although he is the leading contender now.
Well, I think it actually just shows who they are. This has been that partnership we've seen between leftists and Islamists around the world. And I would use that term. It's not that he's a Muslim. It's that he's an Islamist to bring his politics. And that started with his work with Farrakhan, which should be disqualifying right there. He can run for office. His constituents can elect him. But for the DNC members, the 447 who vote, you would think that someone who worked for Louis Farrakhan, who is anti-Semitic, and they're making such a big deal about that right now, the anti-Semitic remarks and the threats on Jewish community centers. And there's this move I've seen in the mainstream media to try to blame Donald Trump for this, as if he could prevent people from making the phone calls that threaten these things. He's talked about combating anti-Semitism in America. But the truth is the DNC would be putting someone forward as chair who has joined forces with anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish leaders in the past. And to me, like you said, that's anti-American itself.
We're going to get into that in more detail in the second half of the broadcast. Let's go right back.
Yeah, let's go ahead to David now. He's calling on the issue with the judges. Let's go to David in Boston, Massachusetts.
You're hey, David, go ahead. You're on.
Hello, Jay. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
Many-time caller. I've been searching and researching the question about these rogue judges who are supposed to accept cases based on U.S. constitutional law.
Yeah, and facts that are the real facts. Yeah, go ahead.
Constitutional law, but they don't. They make their laws based on their own personal preferences or biased opinions.
Yep.
My question is, does the government, like the state of Texas, do they have to follow the ruling? And
sure.
what can be done? To either
here's what happens. So the district court judge decision is the decision of the district. So yes, it enjoins right now the state of Texas from not funding Planned Parenthood. The state of Texas will take this up to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Attorney General for Texas, Paxton, has already said, Jordan, that he's going to do that.
That's right.
And this again is separate from the federal issue on this. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. So I mean, this will go up through the process. I think what could be interesting and unique here, I know that Attorney General Sessions, is just now in place, and he's got to put his team together. But it would be interesting to see the U.S. government come alongside the state of Texas in a brief saying, actually, you know what? They can do this. We have no objection to this.
I have actually had that opportunity. I argued two cases involving the life issue at the Supreme Court of the United States where Ken Starr was the attorney, Solicitor General then. John Roberts, the now Chief Justice, was his deputy. And they argued on our side, I think three times, on abortion-related cases. So it makes a difference when you've got the United States government engaged with you. So, yeah, that's something that I think definitely will come into play. But, Fan, again, what is the current status? And I want to grab these phone calls. The current status of the law in Washington as far as change on that goes. They're talking about that in the Obamacare repeal. It may be in there.
Well, yes, there is going to be language in the Obamacare repeal that would block Planned Parenthood from being eligible for these funds. That was in the bill that Congress sent to President Obama, and he vetoed it. It will be in the bill again. But again, Jay, I mean, I think Congress should make it very, very clear. Remove any ambiguity. They are trying to do that. But listen, it is going to be nice that the Obama DOJ is not going to be alongside the other side when this type of litigation goes forward.
Although I need to say this. I don't know if we're getting comments on this. It looks like all these government agencies, these states that are hostile and these organizations, they're all hiring the former Attorney General of the United States, Eric Holder. That's happening a lot.
Yeah, that is. I mean, he's already got a $25,000 a month retainer.
Just from one.
From the state of California.
Just California.
Just to file lawsuits against the Trump administration on it, basically every move.
Yep.
So not just on one issue that they're looking at, broadly stand in the way of Trump administration, whether it's legislation, executive orders. They've got. They are basically. They've hired the Obama legal team to fight in federal court.
All right, Logan.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Joy in Alabama on line three.
Hi, Joy. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Yes, I just wanted to make a clarification for all of those that are seeking abortion. President Trump did not say that you cannot have an abortion. He just merely said he is pro-life. If you want to have an abortion, go pay for it.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, I view life is more sacred than just go pay for it. That's just that's our view, and that's the position we advocate. We believe life is special, life is sacred, and you don't go destroying life. So I want to be clear on that. The president doesn't have the authority to outlaw abortion, okay? That is not what's even in play here. This is about funding. And as you said, we don't have to have American taxpayers funding this. We appreciate your call. Let's try to grab another call before the break here.
All right, let's go to Lindsay, who's calling online too.
Hey, Lindsay.
Hey, guys. I am praying for you and supporting you
appreciate
in every
that.
Way possible.
Thank you.
Thank you for your work. My question is, if we have already fiscally proven that Planned Parenthood uses federal funding to provide the abortions, how can the federal government force me to pay for something?
Because this judge completely ignored the evidence of the case. He laughs at congressional hearings as if Congress has no role. He laughs at the undercover videos. He makes a big deal that some of the videographers were indicted, doesn't bother to report that the indictments in Texas were dismissed. So this is a judge that ignored the facts so that he could develop his theory of the case as if he was the advocate and not the umpire, and that's part of the problem here.
The other part of the problem is existing legislation. I mean, we now have a Republican Congress, House, and Senate. They need to fight hard to make sure that Planned Parenthood doesn't have any kind of legislation and any legislative history to use in federal court. That's what they do. They point to saying, see, the federal government says we can get these funds under Medicaid, and this is a program where the states and the federal government work together and share funds through Medicaid. It's a state-federal program. So that needs to be stripped. And then these judges, they can believe whatever they want, but they got no law to point to on the books about Planned Parenthood being eligible for these funds.
And that's why the fight on this, and we're taking it to court, folks. We're going to fight back on this. All right, we've only got 59 seconds left in this segment. We're going to be right back with you, though. Logan, let everybody know how they can get the. If you don't get the full hour, which you should, I'm going to keep saying that, because a lot of networks are not carrying the full hour.
Yeah,
but
other
you should.
Networks. You should learn from them. But if not, go to Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. You can also find us on ACLJ.org. If we do lose you here, you can find us on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast, the ACLJ app, available in the App Store if you have an Apple device, including Apple TV, and also on Roku, so you can watch this show, our films, everything we do here is available there absolutely free on the ACLJ app. And again, the show continues on. We don't go to a break when we broadcast on social media. Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Log over there for exclusive videos and great content.
Don't forget also, we've got an email out on the shadow government sabotaging the president's moves. We'll talk about that on a very special broadcast on Friday. Back for more in a moment.
The last 8 years have been a disaster. President Obama did everything in his power to undermine our relationship with Israel, our most important ally in the Middle East. At the ACLJ, we're calling on President Trump to stand with Israel, support our most cherished ally in the Middle East. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Freedom. broadcast, everyone. So here's what we've got. I'm going to start with, we're going to hit three topics in this segment of the, next 30 minutes of the broadcast. First, I want to start with this Planned Parenthood situation. Federal judge in Texas blocks the state of Texas, who decided they were not going to defund, they were not going to fund Planned Parenthood with Medicaid dollars. Why? Because Planned Parenthood, as you know, is engaged in fetal body part sales. They have engaged in procedures that the state of Texas disagrees with. And this judge ignores the law, ignores the facts, and says there's basically a constitutional right almost to having your taxpayer dollars going to Planned Parenthood. That is not the way the law is set up. There is no constitutional right for Planned Parenthood to have the money. Period. End of story. End of discussion. They don't have that right. But nevertheless, this judge in Texas said they did. All right, we're going to handle that. Then we're going to talk about what's going on with ISIS right now, with their very targeted attack against Christians in Egypt, ISIS active in Egypt. And then we're going to take a look forward on what's coming on the executive order on immigration that we expect on Thursday or Friday. Logan, let's grab these calls on this.
Yeah, let's go to Jay, who's calling in Vegas. You're on the air, Jay.
Hey, Jay, go ahead.
Planned Parenthood, and it's in Texas. It was James Madison that said that we have staked the whole future of American civilization on the power of government,
yeah,
but upon the capacity of each and every one of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. And abortion, by definition, according to the Ten Commandments, it's preconceived murder.
Right.
And we've gotten away so far away from it. But I'd like to say is that how about Texas as far as imposing imposing an abortion tax?
Well, here's what the state of Texas is trying to do. They're trying to create a culture of life. They want to regulate these abortion clinics so that they have to meet various health standards. They have been rebuffed on this at every time. So we've got a real fight here. But as Jordan said, I think it's important. I want to grab these other calls on this. It's important to understand that we now have an administration that is taking a pro-life position. I've been in that situation in court. When you've got a pro-life attorney general and a pro-life solicitor general, let me tell you something. When I'm in court, that makes a big difference. So we're filing in the Fifth Circuit here. I will not be surprised if the Justice Department does as well.
And we would encourage them to do so, and I think that it just adds a stronger argument to what Texas is doing if the federal government says, listen, judges, we are not concerned about this move by the states, even though that this is a program shared by the federal government and the state government. Currently, that's what these judges are relying on. In every one of these lawsuits that's happened,
yep,
in the six states that have done the defunding this way through Medicaid, they've all said you can't do it because of the federal funds that are commingled with the state funds. If the federal government comes along and says that is okay with us,
yep,
these judges can still try to say, well, you've got to change. Maybe they'll say you got to change the law. But I think it gives them a much stronger argument.
Yeah, I do too.
To have the federal government on their side.
So we'll see what happens. All right, let's take some more calls on this, Logan.
Yeah, let's go to Christy, who's calling on line 6 in South Carolina. You're on the air.
Christy, go ahead.
Hi.
Hey.
I was just wondering, to take the defunding from Planned Parenthood and,
yep,
put it into the state health department,
yep,
you know, making them better, why can't we put that?
Well, that's going to be part of, let's talk about that in Washington. We're talking about some of that funding going towards women health care. Would be clinics, state clinics, private clinics, but not in the abortion business.
On the discretionary side, all of it, Jay. And on the mandatory side, the Medicaid side, it's exactly what Jordan said. The program is set up so that states can decide which women and which people inside their states most needs this funding. By it going to Planned Parenthood and restricting states' ability to do that, Jay, it is compromising the mission of Medicaid itself. So the long arm of the federal government, that's sort of a secondary question here. But if we get it right, it will actually better serve,
yep,
the low income in the states that most need this help.
All right, let's talk for a moment here. I want to talk about this Keith Ellison matter. I want to play for you. Do we have time to do it? Can I play number 39? Do we have time? All right, let's do it. Here it is. Keith Ellison, DNC chair. Almost.
This is not to say that I don't want the U.S. to be friends with Israel. I just want the United States to have a lot of friends. And to be in a position with a friend to say, you are wrong and you must stop. But now we say it and it doesn't happen. Even though our GDP is 4 times larger than the second largest country. It just doesn't make any mathematical sense. But it makes all the sense of the world when you see that that country has mobilized its diaspora in America to do its bidding in America.
So they're going to, very quickly, Joe, we only got 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. This could be the chairman of the DNC?
Yes, an Islamist.
Scary for America.
An Islamist, anti-Israel. I'd say anti-American because of his association with Louis Farrakhan being anti-Semitic. That is not an American principle. And so, again, this is,
yeah,
this would be very interesting, and I think could divide the party.
I do, Tim. All right, we'll be back with more, including your calls, at 800-684-3110. We're going to talk about this and ISIS coming up next.
The last 8 years have been a disaster. President Obama did everything in his power to undermine our relationship with Israel, our most important ally in the Middle East. Now it's time to repair the damage. It's a critical time in Washington. President Trump has held crucial meetings at the White House with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It's now more important than ever to show the world that Israel has no better friend than the United States of America. It's time to stand with our ally, not abandon Israel. With a new administration comes new hope. At the ACLJ, we're calling on President Trump to stand with Israel, support our most cherished ally in the Middle East. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. So you've got an interesting dynamic right now, and we've got joining us in the studios Wes Smith, Colonel, United States Army retired, a senior analyst for our military affairs matters, and also our director of policy, Harry Hutchison. We're also experimenting with our new studio. We're going to have five people up here at the same time. We have the ability to do that, so this is our first test of that. But I want to go to it's going to tie Wes right in with the Keith Ellison thing. So
okay. You
got Keith Ellison who... Than, let me quickly go to Than on this. You think he right now, if the vote was today, would Keith Ellison, which would be he would be the DNC chair, he'd be the first Islamic DNC chair in U.S. history. And I'm not saying that Muslims can't be chairman of the DNC, but this is a guy that has radical views, as we've laid out.
He's got the most declared support, Jay. 105 supporters to Tom Perez's 57. You need 224 to win. Jay, the Democrat Party has a decision to make. Are they going to pander to the radical fringe left? And at this moment, to answer your question directly, it appears like they just might.
I mean, it's hard to believe that that's where they're going to go on this. At the same time, right now, talking about Islamic terror, which the president's going to give us, Wes, a... Or he's getting a report from his generals next week. Tell us what that's going to be.
Right. 30 days ago, he asked the Pentagon to coordinate with other agencies and to come up with a plan that would give him strategic options for the utter defeat of ISIS. And so that report should reach the president's desk next Monday or Tuesday, we think. We don't know when the details will be released. But one of the good things about the report is that it's not only dealing with defeating ISIS in Iraq and Syria,
but
ISIS, period, because what is happening, even though ISIS is committing genocide against Christians and Yazidis and others in Iraq and Syria, at the same time, ISIS and ISIS-affiliated groups have increased their attacks in other places throughout the region.
Specifically, let me say this, and I know Jordan's going to want to comment on this as well. They've also increased their attacks in Egypt, where there's a 10% of the population, which doesn't sound significant, but it is, are Coptic Christians. And we've done a lot of work with the Coptic Christian community, and Jordan, they are being attacked.
Yeah, that's millions of people in a country the size of Egypt.
By ISIS.
And there's a new Islamic State video out just yesterday, this coming from the ISIS affiliate in Egypt, which is Wilayat Sinai, Peninsula. But they carried out their largest attack outside of the Sinai Peninsula, which is kind of a no man's land terrorist zone, was at a Cairo church in December. And now they've put out the video of that suicide bomber. In it, he calls Christians their favorite prey. So the ISIS in Egypt, the favorite prey of those terrorists are Christians. And that he warns the worshipers of the cross, the soldiers of the state are watching you. And these, again, this was a video put out yesterday by the ISIS affiliate in Egypt about their December terror attack that killed 30 at a Christian church in Cairo.
Yeah, so this is so serious. So what, Wes, quickly here, what do you expect that we're going to see? I mean, I don't think the president's going to come up and here's what the generals are saying we're going to do. But I'm expecting that this is going to be real military action here.
It is. Part of what a lot of military analysts believe is that if we utterly defeat ISIS in Iraq and Syria, yeah, that it will be demoralizing to their other affiliates. It will not make them go away. And, of course, once that we take Mosul and Raqqa, they will disperse and there will be more of an insurgency of ISIS. But we really need to defeat their military strongholds and their headquarters.
Yep.
In the meantime, referring to what Jordan was saying, it was just 7 weeks ago that St. Mark's Christian Cathedral was bombed in Egypt. This week, a 50-year-old Christian schoolteacher was shot, the second murder this week of a Christian by Islamic militants. Three more were gunned down by a drive-by shooting in the rural areas of Egypt. They routinely, Islamic militants, attack Christian businesses and homes.
Yeah. So this is very, very serious. Logan, let's look for some comments on this topic. And I want to ask something to Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy. We'll talk about the executive order and the coming executive order. But we're going to do some special programming on this, what we call the shadow government. So I'm looking at the president's going to come up with a proposal, right? He's going to get a proposal from his generals on how to defeat ISIS. And parts of it will get public because there'll be, especially if it involves military action or intelligence, there will be those inside the State Department, because Jordan and I have been there listening to the State Department say this, Harry, that think this is the way we've been doing it under President Obama's administration was the way to do it. Contain them. You're not going to defeat them, but contain them. That narrative will be put up through the State Department. And again, those entrenched bureaucrats, that shadow government, will be operating that way to get their message out.
Absolutely. So it's important to realize, Jay, that there are people in the bureaucracy that owe a greater allegiance to Obama and his ideology than the United States Constitution and the rule of law. They are entrenched. Many of them are mid-level. Some of them are senior. And so the Trump administration needs to take affirmative action to remove those individuals from the bureaucracy, particularly as it affects the implementation of his policies going forward.
Yeah, so that policy, Jordan, it may be the executive order on Friday or Thursday. We'll see. It may be the procedures as Wes just outlined regarding military action. There is this entrenched. I called it an undemocratic. I said, look out for the unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats. Now, the State Department should try to clear a lot of this out.
That's right. So Secretary of State Tillerson has cleared out most of the senior holdover staff from the Obama administration, not all of them. That's called the seventh floor staff. But you've got these State Department officials, over 70,000 of them, all over the world. Most who would oppose our view, the conservative view of our foreign policy,
yep,
and the position. So there's a lot more work to be done there.
Yep.
But he is setting the tone now. And, you know, just like I saw that one CIA official who said, I just can't serve this administration.
Yeah.
Good riddance.
Goodbye.
Good. Thank you. I wish more bureaucrats did what that CIA official did. Who they act like he was there, so he was there for 10 years. I mean, this is not like we can't operate without him. He gave money to Hillary Clinton, and they're putting him out there as a spokesperson. Those folks, I mean, you could go through. You could see people's political donations. And very clearly, some may be able to serve. Others cannot. I hope those who cannot do what he did and leave the government rather than what these others do, which is try to undermine it from within.
Yeah, and that's what we talk about in the shadow government. All right, Logan, we've got some very interesting comments coming in from Facebook and Periscope. I want to get to some of these.
All right, pull some of those up. We got one that came in just now from Sue. Actually, let's go one from Joseph. Said, all this information is scary business. When we defeat them, that's about ISIS. But also, there's a comment here about Ellison specifically said, do you believe the DNC is voting for Ellison out of spite?
It could be. I mean, I think they're trying to redefine themselves, but on the question, and it could be. I mean, we'll see. I mean, we'll have a better handle on that over the weekend. I will tell you this. All this information about ISIS, Joseph said, is scary business. What will it take to defeat them? Wes, it's going to take real military. Listen, we said this in our book, Rise of ISIS. This is not Al-Qaeda. They operate like Hamas. They have standing armies. We are still fighting them in Mosul. We still have not been able to take the territory completely back. So I'm optimistic where it's going to go, but what's it going to take to defeat them? You've served in the region. You know that region.
Right. And, you know, if you've ever been to war, you're reluctant to ever go back to war. but at some point it's going to take a really robust military campaign to utterly defeat ISIS, both in Mosul and in Raqqa. The good news, Jay, is that we have a Secretary of State and a Secretary of Defense.
Mad Dog Mattis.
Yes, both
and
of them.
And Tillerson and
they
State.
Do not equivocate. They call it radical Islamic terror, and they have both been on the record as saying they will defeat them.
But Harry, that's part of the problem is when they use the terms that we like them to use, which is exactly, you got to name your enemy, radical Islamic terror, that so undercuts the previous 8 years of administration that, again, the shadow government in there will try to undercut even the terminology being used, saying, and they'll do it through leaks.
Absolutely. And so one of the real issues that the Trump administration needs to confront is the possibility that information will be leaked prematurely, which will impair the effectiveness of whatever strategy the Trump administration decides to support.
Yeah. So I think we got a real fight here. And the reality is, as the plan is developed and the generals are developing it, you believe me, there's an undercurrent there. But you got some strong leaders in place with Mattis, with Tillerson, now with McMaster's National Security Advisor. I mean, this is a whole different level of team.
Yeah, it is. And so this is a report, again, that President Trump requested that is put together by the Defense Department and the various agencies, as Wes said, on how to defeat ISIS, how to destroy ISIS. And so this was part of his campaign pledge. He's repeated this over and over again, and now he will have plans put before him to do just that. I'm not sure how much he'll release to the public. He's been, said, why would we tell ISIS exactly what we're going to do? That being said, if there's large troop movements, if we're seeing things
yep.
change, ships, or movement of
you're gonna have
of people, then we'll be getting a signal that things are changing or an increase in air attacks as well.
Yeah, Logan, more comments coming. We'll get phone calls, by the way, in the last segment of the broadcast. We take your calls at 800-684-3110, but you got
That's
some
right.
comments.
There are some lines open. Yeah, all this conversation's coming in. Sue said on Facebook, is the leader in Egypt doing anything to protect Christians?
Al-Sisi, yes, he's trying. But what's happened is that the Muslim Brotherhood has worked in conjunction with ISIS now. So they are all in cahoots with each other, and they're all Sunni, so they share that same ideology. El-Sisi's trying. He's trying to protect the Coptic Christian community. It's not an easy task.
They are actually now attacking Egyptian military forces for trying to protect the Christians.
Yeah. All right, we're going to be back with your calls and comments. Logan said let you know how you can get them in for the last segment of the broadcast here.
That's right. You can do it 1-800-684-3110. About four lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice heard today. You can also get your comments on Facebook, but in this last segment, we'd like to take as many calls as absolutely possible. So once again, I'll say it slow. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back to take all your calls after this.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The last 8 years have been a disaster. President Obama did everything in his power to undermine our relationship with Israel, our most important ally in the Middle East. Now it's time to repair the damage. It's a critical time in Washington. President Trump has held crucial meetings at the White House with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It's now more important than ever to show the world that Israel has no better friend than the United States of America. It's time to stand with our ally, not abandon Israel. With a new administration comes new hope. At the ACLJ, we're calling on President Trump to stand with Israel, support our most cherished ally in the Middle East. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Breaks. If you don't catch the breaks, you should, even if you're listening to your radio station, go over and listen to the breaks. We have a lot of fun in the breaks in the broadcast. All right, we're taking your calls here for the last segment of the broadcast, 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Any topic? We've got the whole, can we do a wide shot here? This is the whole, I mean, you can't, and put Van up on the screen even. How about that? Can we, is that possible?
Too many people.
It's a lot, okay, here we go. Ready? Let's put Van up. I just want everybody to see that, so our radio audience, our TV audience gets to see. We are like bigger than Morning Joe.
Someone did ask if we can move Than down just a little, then just look like he's sitting right there.
We could do that technically. There he is.
We'll just
so, anyways,
his background
there's the whole. There's the whole. A large part of the crew here that's in the broadcast. All right, let's Logan. We got to hit these calls, and we'll go now back to our regular shots.
Yep. Let's
and,
start with Gary on line three in Arizona. You're on the air.
Go ahead, Gary.
Say good morning. God bless everybody. I pray diligently for your.
Thank
good
you very
work.
Much. We appreciate
here
that.
Five.
Thanks.
Andy Biggs is our representative, took over for Matt Salmon, and last local meeting that we had among our committeemen, we want a 12th federal district court to get out of this 9th Circus Court of Appeals over there, and consisting of Arizona, Utah, Idaho, Montana,
so
Colorado.
That takes, let me tell you what that's going to take. That, Harry, would take congressional actions to do this. They split them before, by the way. The 5th and the 11th were at one time it was just the 5th Circuit. They split it to the 11th. There is a lot of talk about that because it is A, backlogged, and B, there are so many judges. En banc review isn't really – it's still panel dependent.
Absolutely. And this move has been proposed over the last,
couple times.
I think, 20 years, actually.
Yep.
And it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's Congress. This is not a constitutional issue. These courts are set up – By law,
the circuits.
So that and you can do whatever you is like it, and split them up. And I think that it makes a lot of sense. I know that there's plenty of states in the Ninth Circuit who are not so left-leaning that may like to be separated from those West Coast states. And Congress can do that by an act of law.
American Bar Association said 80% reversal weight from the Ninth Circuit Court. Real quickly, is there any movement on that, on separating? I know there's a lot of talk in the media right now, but is there any real movement on that?
It's gaining momentum. You're not close to enactment, Jay, but it's gaining momentum specifically for the reason that Jordan just mentioned. Some of these states, and most specifically Arizona, they're tired of being tied to California in this circuit.
All right, Logan.
Yep, let's keep going. Let's go to Wayne in Texas. Wayne, you're on the air.
Hey, Wayne, go ahead.
Line two. Wayne's not there. Let's put Wayne back on hold, and I think we need to wait until we get a couple more people screened on.
Okay.
So I'll take you a comment. This is from Joseph, said, all this information about ISIS is scary business. When will they defeat them? Is there a time frame?
Okay, so, Wes, from a military standpoint, when you're dealing with an insurgent terrorist group that's acting more like Hamas, and Hamas has been in business, quote-unquote business, for a long time.
Right.
And they're operating like a military, and as Jordan has said previously, they're controlling territories.
Right.
What does it look like here? I mean, I know you've got sources inside the military, friends of yours. What is the source on that?
Well,
there's a sense of timing.
Right. As far as taking their territory away in Iraq and Syria, that is very doable and will be done in short order, especially if President Trump recommits larger forces to do that. The other part, though, is that as far as the insurgency goes of ISIS, they're going to be around for a long, long time. That insurgency is impossible to completely nail out. It's going to be multi-generational.
I'm going to go to Harry, then Jordan. We do have to be thinking long ball with ISIS here, because if it's not ISIS, it's going to be somebody else. I believe the president will defeat them, and it may take serious military. It's going to take serious military action. But we've studied this thoroughly in our work at Oxford and other places. They are in this for the long haul.
Absolutely. So we are dealing with a pernicious ideology, and it requires a long-term commitment by the United States government and the West collectively in order to defeat them. And so we need to be thinking about the next step beyond simply a military defeat on the ground for ISIS.
All right, Jordan, let's talk about the politics of this for a minute. I can get that in quickly here. The ISIS issue, which a lot of people are commenting about, because a lot of people are concerned with this, especially with the targeting of the Coptic Christian community, but just generally what they're doing. There has to be the political will to do this as well.
There has to be political will. I mean, there will be loss of life. There are going to be civilian casualties. You're going to see images that are not pretty because they have hunkered down in cities. So they will use human shields. But if you absolutely want to destroy ISIS, you have to understand the cost of doing that and realize, again, that we have to become very vigilant in our own country as well. vigilant because, as everyone reports, as the pressure grows on these ISIS strongholds, whether it's troops on the ground, by the air, then you will start seeing those who still have their passports go back into the world.
And talk about the passports. So people need to understand this, that ISIS is issuing passports.
Well, ISIS has issued legitimate Syrian passports in the sense that they took over cities. You know,
it's the real passport.
Real passport, false information.
Yeah, for a fraudulent purpose.
So,
yeah.
But it's not a counterfeit passport.
Yeah, it's not a fake passport.
So this goes to that vetting issue that becomes very difficult. But when the pressure comes, a lot of these guys will cut and run.
Yep.
That doesn't mean they will not still be active terrorists. And we will have to be vigilant here and in Europe, really around the world, because we will crush their strongholds and they will kind of run like cockroaches, right. I think. They will kind of spread out throughout the world. And you've seen their global reach. They recruit people who don't normally look like a terrorist always.
Right.
White guys from Alabama.
And they can't stand up on the ground against a military force. We have far superior firepower, but it's what Jordan is saying whenever they disperse.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Logan, a comment or call.
Yeah, let's go ahead and let's just go get some calls because we're running out of time. Let's go to Laura, who's been on hold the longest. Laura, you're on the air.
Hey, Laura, go ahead.
I was just...
All right, Laura, sorry, put her back on hold. Kim, you're on the air.
Yes, hi there.
Hey, Kim.
This is off topic, but I have a quick question about James Comey. Why is he still employed?
Because the director of the FBI does not serve a fixed term in the sense that it coincides with the presidential administration. It's a 10-year appointment. The idea there, Harry, was to keep it not political.
Absolutely.
So he serves not at the pleasure, really, of the... I mean, I guess the president could...
You could pressure him
out. You could pressure him out, but you cannot fire them.
That's correct. So, in theory, this is supposed to be a non-political position. You can argue that James Comey has politicized the FBI, and hence there's an argument for removing him. But the president can only place pressure on James Comey to resign. The president doesn't have the authority to remove him directly.
Then what's the sense in Washington right now on the James Comey FBI just generally? I mean, it's gone very quiet because you got a new administration and a new attorney general.
If he's going to be removed, Jay, it's going to take bipartisan pressure. There is some bipartisan pressure. The question will be, will it build high enough on both sides of the aisle to actually happen? Jay, he was on the Hill last week briefing senators, so he's still active, still engaged. We didn't get a lot out of that briefing, but I think he's there until 2023, unless you see leaders in both parties insist that he leave.
All right, let me make this announcement to our radio audience and to our friends on Facebook and Periscope or watching on ACLJ.org. I have been asked, and I'm going to be doing it tomorrow, to guest host for Sean Hannity during Sean Hannity's radio broadcast. So we'll be taking comments and calls like we do during this broadcast, except we'll be on Sean's network. So we're very excited about that. We have a very close relationship with Sean Hannity, his entire team. They do a great job both on radio and on TV, and just thrilled to be part of their broadcast tomorrow. But we'll still be broadcasting here tomorrow as well. So it'll be a busy media day for our ACLJ team tomorrow. Lots of ways for you to engage. We do have an email that is out on the issue of the shadow government. We're going to have some special broadcasting on that on Friday. But Logan, let everybody know how they can engage.
That's right. If you want to catch up, listen to any of these shows or any of our past shows, you can find it at facebook.com/jsekulo or the ACLJ or ACLJ.org. You can find just about every place we are, including radio stations, the show archived, everything. You can also get that on the ACLJ app, which is a great, probably the easiest way to sign every petition and be a part of everything. Download the ACLJ app on your iPhone, your iPad, Roku, or Apple TV. You can find us right there. Again, everything at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The last 8 years have been a disaster. President Obama did everything in his power to undermine our relationship with Israel, our most important ally in the Middle East. At the ACLJ, we're calling on President Trump to stand with Israel, support our most cherished ally in the Middle East. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.